Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ethiopia. The centerpiece of Ethiopia's memory is the address made by the Emperor Haile Selassie to the League of Nations in 1936 after his country was invaded and torn apart by the Italian army, working with Mussolini and eventually with the Germans, the Hitlerites, to march predation on weak nations, small nations. That's the centerpiece of my learning about Ethiopia. Gregory Copley, however, over time has educated me about Ethiopia in the 21st century. It's no less complicated, but it comes now to a lengthy piece in The New Yorker, a profile of the prime minister. His name is Abiy, and he is a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He's a very well-educated man, and he has plans for Ethiopia. And yet, Gregory, we've talked about this before, and I'm catching up with your deep knowledge of the history of Ethiopia since Selassie to today. But on the way, The New Yorker mentions Mengistu, if I say his name correctly, and the dirge. He mentions the TPLF, the Tigray Popular Liberation Front, which jailed thousands. He mentions that the Tigray Popular Liberation Front launched an offensive battle against the prime minister, the Nobel Peace Prize winner for negotiating peace on the plateau with Eritrea, I believe, and other warring factions, mentions all this. And yet, it's a puzzle to me, Gregory. What is holding back the United States and, from what I can see, European capitals from endorsing Abiy? Why is this man regarded as suspicious to them, given who his enemies are?
Well, a very good question. And it's interesting that, as you say, The New Yorker had this big piece on Abiy Ahmed Ali, the prime minister, on September 26th, just a day or two ago. Well, the piece itself was extremely superficial. It was, as they used to say, describe someone as a barmaid's idea of a real gentleman. Well, this is a barmaid's idea of a sophisticated discussion about Ethiopia. The article does get out a lot of information, but it doesn't understand it. Firstly, Abiy has been attempting to suppress some of the problems caused by the TPLF, the Tigray Popular Liberation Front, and to a lesser degree, he's been trying to address the Oromo Liberation Front. These are both absolutely extreme Marxist terrorist organizations committed to specifically genocidal approaches to prosecuting their war, with the ultimate objective that both Oromia and Tigray would be independent countries under Marxist control. Now, why is the United States leading the charge against Abiy and in support of the TPLF, you might ask, and you did ask. The reality is that the TPLF was in charge of Ethiopia during the rule in the United States of President Obama. And the Obama administration wanted access to airfields in southern Ethiopia so that it could conduct drone strikes on Somali terrorist groups. All well and good. However, what happened was that a number of senior U.S. officials, mostly old Clinton administration people who were working subsequently for Obama, got very, very friendly with the TPLF. They gave the TPLF arms and training for the TPLF's militia of more than 30,000 troops. The U.S. provided special forces training for them. The U.S. provided them with billions of dollars, some of which found its way back when the Obama administration left office, and some of the officials in Washington were looking for new jobs. They found them as lobbyists for the TPLF, so that money was coming back to Washington. Now those former Obama and Clinton administration officials are in the Biden administration, State Department, National Security Council, and the like. And they are supportive of the TPLF, their old clients and allies. So they naturally support that, and they've been encouraging the Europeans to support their approach to opposing Abiy and supporting the TPLF. Now, a number of European countries have awakened to the fact that this was not in their interest, because the real interests of the West are in preserving the stability and control over the Red Sea sea lane of communication. And what you need to do that is to have a very stable and strong and unified Ethiopia. And the current US policies are working exactly against that. So the reality is that we have the TPLF propaganda being supported by people within the current US administration, and that's getting play like this this article in the New Yorker, which has attempted to be more balanced, but it nonetheless runs with the view that the TPLF are the victims. Well, the TPLF was always a highly corrupt, murderous group which had tens of thousands of political prisoners and suppressed most of the country. It was led for many years by Prime Minister Meles Zenawi, who really was immensely corrupt and was responsible for storing many of those billions of dollars of US funds away for the TPLF and not for the good of Ethiopia. So basically, it's a very sorry situation. And right now, the TPLF, despite this propaganda, is fighting a rear guard battle to survive. The federal forces are now isolating the TPLF from the Tigrayan population, and there are battles underway around Mekelle, the capital of Tigray, and around Aksum, which is where the Ark of the Covenant is said to be held in a church there. So the TPLF are now being forced into extinction because they've literally run out of money, run out of weapons and the like. Their partners, the Oromo Liberation Front, on the other hand, are still getting a lot of money, mostly from Egypt, who's also provided them with weapons. But the reality is that a united Ethiopia is critical. Frankly, the last great unifying force in Ethiopia was Emperor Haile Selassie and the Solomonic line of emperors going back, as we know, to the union of King Solomon and Queen Makkadda of Saba. And the Ethiopian Crown Council, which operates in exile but also inside the country, that represents the, if you like, the unified history of Ethiopia under the crown. They're getting a lot of traction. And when you have the great national days based on the historical anniversaries, people come out waving the imperial flag, not the communist flag of Ethiopia.
Gregory, I read the paragraph that just flabbergasted me, because any sympathy for the TPLF should end at when I finish reading. The TPLF, writes John Lee Anderson, the profile for The New Yorker, as it was known, imposed a program of economic modernization, which in time produced striking gains. For a decade and a half, the growth rate hovered around 10%, and Ethiopia became known among boosters as the China of Africa. But the real wealth went largely to those who were already rich or to people connected with the government, which controlled much of the country. And the leadership tolerated little dissent, imprisoning and torturing thousands of political opponents. That's published now, Gregory. How can there be any ambiguity about supporting the TPLF? This is a murder gang that stole from the people of Ethiopia for as long as it was in power. And any reference to it now should be as unacceptable as reference to the Red Guard.
Absolutely correct. And yet, look, there's no question that the U.S. has not backed away from its support for the TPLF. But on the other hand, Prime Minister Abiy has been living in a bit of a bubble himself, and I don't think he understands how to deal with the West or how to deal with the United States in particular. He does believe that he is the only person that can save Ethiopia, and he has yet to live up to some of his promises, the first of which was to start the debate about a new constitution which would restore the rights of private property. And he's been told on many occasions that you will not get a major transformation of international investor opinion about Ethiopia until there is some security in property ownership. And that yet has not yet happened. In the meantime, of course, Abiy can say, well, he's been distracted because the TPLF and the OLF started a civil war at the same time that there was a drought and the like. But the climatic conditions, we've got the third wave of the La Nina climate pattern causing drought, has not stopped Ethiopia under Abiy moving its agricultural production so much forward that it will soon be self-sufficient in wheat production, which is no mean feat. So there have been real strides by Ethiopia, even while the US has been waging war against it, along with Egypt, because Egypt blames Ethiopia for the lack of Nile waters flowing down into Ethiopia, into Egypt. But the reality is that there has been progress. The TPLF war is winding down, or we're coming to a climax now as the TPLF runs out of steam. There's still more fights to be had, particularly with the OLF, but also Abiy himself has to start making some of the bold decisions which will get the Egyptians off his back, get the economy moving again, and restore the integrity of private property. And by the way, he will probably need, if he wants to get legitimacy, he'll need to start acknowledging the debt which Ethiopia owes to its unity from the Ethiopian crown. And we know that Prime Minister Abiy is very much in favor of recognizing Ethiopia's illustrious Solomonic history and has had meetings with the president of the Crown Council, who happens to be Emperor Haile Selassie's grandson, Prince Hermias Selassie. So there are many things which are happening and which could happen. But first, the Prime Minister has to get more realistic, and he also has to stop the Oromo Liberation Front from attacking and murdering people of Amhara ethnicity and Afar ethnicity.
But what about this, Gregory? In the course of the explanation, it's said that critics call Haile Selassie an Amhara nationalist. They actually John Lee Anderson actually writes this. Now, is my memory of Selassie wrong? Did he not? Did he not galvanize Europe when he made that speech in League of Nations to call him an Amhara nationalist? Is science fiction?
It is not only science fiction. It is typical left wing tit for tat stuff. Because it's the left who have been playing ethnic politics, and Haile Selassie did the reverse of that. He was an Ethiopian nationalist. He was a Shoan Amhara, and the Shoan group of Amhara peoples are regarded, by others as often having been elitist and the like, but they had the reins of power for a long time. But the reality was that Emperor Haile Selassie made sure that his children married Ethiopians of other ethnicities other than Amhara. Prince Hermias, the current president of the Crown Council of Ethiopia, for example, had, of course, although his father was one of Haile Selassie's sons, his mother is an Amhara, is an Oromo. So this mixed ethnicity is the reality, and it's something which the Derg didn't. The Derg actually was trying to be more nationalistic, but then when they lost power and Meles Zenawi and the TPLF came in, the TPLF started ethnic politics because, for the very simple reason that the TPLF represents only a fraction of the Tigrayan people, and the Tigrayan population represents only about 6% of the overall Ethiopian population. So their answer to how to control Ethiopia was divide and conquer. And that's why they did that.
I recommend the New Yorker piece to everyone who wants to learn more about the history of Ethiopia reaching back, well, at least to the 19th century. But we're talking about a tormented land with great prospect to rally the people of the Horn of Africa. We're going to the Central Asia, the stands next, because I have some questions to Gregory about what is to be done as China wavers and sinks, as Russia plunges ever farther into darkness. What about the stands? Are they a hope? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Don't let an outdated garage door define your home. Revamp your home's appearance with a new Ideal Garage Door. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free Garage Door Designer. Hurry in and save big money on your next project. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.